I'm just tired of this, man. I'm tired of this slow ass, no effort, no sense of urgency route running. I just don't like it. It's not good enough, man. All we can do is point out what's on the field.
JT O'Sullivan, and he was in that moment talking about DJ Moore, and DJ Moore is another person who got an extension, and it was fairly early into his career with the Bears. Now, I think because of DJ Moore's resume, it's probably not fair to put him in this category, but it is something where, and his production, it is something that you go, when does an organization feel like they have a good sense of who the player is? Look at the Bears with Joe Tooney. He's got all of the accolades, and you needed the cap flexibility of signing him to the extension that you did. It saved you $8 million against the cap for this year. That's a strategic move as much as anything else that it is. But look at Montez for a second. You brought him in, and you're like, well, part of the reason that we're bringing him in is so that we can sign him long term. And you go, okay, when do front offices feel like they have a sense of what and who a player is and how they're going to react when they get guaranteed money?
Well, that brings up human nature in the middle of a career, which is always disappointing when we see it play out. Could you argue that we saw it last year with DJ Moore? Situation matters. The coaching was terrible. The atmosphere was terrible. And he did not seem to rise up to help elevate it. I think you could argue it with the safety, with Eddie, with Eddie Jackson. Could argue with Eddie Jackson, where after Eddie Jackson got his guaranteed money on his first extension, we saw a lack of desire for physicality. We saw it play out. So sometimes it happens once a guy has proven it and then gets the money. And that's probably something we should call out even more when we see it.
Well, JT O'Sullivan did call it out as it pertains to DJ Moore.
It's one of those things, too, where what I do is through a quarterback-centric lens. But so much of what the quarterback's performance or outcomes is tethered to other people, other positions, play calling, scheme, execution up front, execution on the perimeter, that I by default will lean into and go into those types of things that I find are interesting. And for me in the league on Sundays, there's so much attention to detail that goes into what happens up front and on the perimeter. And if we're talking about the perimeter, it's the easiest to see. It's a lot harder to see up front play, you know, the line, how they pick up a game, the pass pro. You have to understand it. Sometimes you don't even know what the call is. You don't know what the rules are. You don't know what the technique is being taught. But on the perimeter, there are really only so many different combinations. There are really only so many different ways to be on time with certain routes. And when you notice that that stuff is not consistently happening and that you see what I would consider effort concerns or people not going what looks like they're 100% consistently. That to me, it's certainly a shot at the player, but it's really a shot at the whole unit because there's no way that that can happen in a team, in my opinion, at a team that functioned at a high level on either side of the ball, that you would allow that to happen as a coach because you would get in front of the team on Wednesday morning or Monday and put it on the big screen and put a circle around it and say, this type of effort is not acceptable. And you have to be willing to stand on it and own it. And if it continues, you got to deal with it and you got to make a change. People feel that. You can see that. There are other guys that watch the film. If you play offensive line, guess what? You watch your technique, then you watch the ball, then you watch the guy who gets paid the most. Like those things, that's just how it works when you're watching film. And so to allow that to go on and on and on and feel like, I know I'm not the only person watching it because we got thousands of people in this Patreon community also watching it, but I feel like I'm the only one living through it every single week. And I could not imagine watching that film on Monday, like down the hall from some of these cats and just being like, yeah, we're good. We'll roll it back next week. See what happens. Like that part of it was crazy frustrating. And I can't imagine it continued.
Yeah, that's rough, man. And that standard's going to have to rise with new coaches. And you worry that DJ was somebody who got paid that didn't like the situation and backed off a little bit. Texter's bringing up Patrick Williams.
That's the name that we were going to bring up. The idea of the Bulls actually knowing and having 5 years of data
insane
on Patrick Williams and then saying, and they've got another thing in front of them now with Josh Giddey. I don't trust it at all.
They had the decision with Zach LaVine the first time around. The Giddey decision is a lot like the Zach LaVine decision from several years ago.
And it's like, oh, well, look at how great he played in the second half of the season. Right. As he was walking up to free agency, how well he played. It just scares me when you see them, in these cases, like ignore some of the telltale signs that you might not be getting what you want out of someone that you're bringing in long term.
The Patrick Williams one drives me crazy because it's a coach who will deal with effort for young players. And we've seen him get better effort out of young players. And Patrick feels like a front office that fell in love with its own guy and refused to give up the ghost.
100%.